That's kind of the perfect introduction to what we're talking about today. We are continuing our series that we're using the so-called one another passages. We have chosen the ones that are more the outward-facing aspects of being followers of Jesus. And so one of the ways that we've been encouraging to think about this is that this is spiritual formation for the public square. How do we demonstrate our allegiance to Jesus and his kingdom and not be seduced by the ways of our culture and our world? What are the key practices, behaviors, attitudes, ways of speaking modeled by Jesus that we also bring to our community and world as well? So today we are talking, as you've already figured out, specifically about words, the ways that we speak to one another and well beyond all of that. And so we're going to read from James chapter 3. But before I do, let's pause and pray. Word of God, do speak. We know that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So may the words of my mouth and all of our thoughts be acceptable in your sight. And may all of our words today and well beyond reflect your glory and our love for you and our respect, concern, and hope for others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm reading now from James chapter 3, and then at the end of that, we'll skip to one verse in James chapter 4, but listen now for God's word to all of us. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And then from chapter 4, kind of our key verse for today. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. In other translations, do not speak evil, do not badmouth one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You ever heard that? We all have. We're playing with words today, so I can honestly tell you it is a canard. Do you know what that means? That means that it is an idea or a piece of information that is false. Most all of us, I would actually go this point, all of us, have been hurt or wounded in one way or another by words. So John Eldridge in his book tells about his friend Craig. Craig's father was killed in the Korean War. His mother remarried, and then his stepfather came into being, and he gave him a nickname that was Seagull. And whenever his stepfather was angry with Craig, he'd say, "Craig, you are nothing but a seagull. All you're good for is sitting, squawking, and you know the word." That is a wound by words that it is not easy for a person to recover from. Clearly, God is concerned about the use of our words. There are many other scriptures besides the ones that we are using today that we could have gone to. But have you ever thought about how many words you use every day? The average number of words used by a human being in 24 hours, do you know how much that is? Well, I'll confess first, I used to think that it was women that spoke more words than men. But there is a study that was done more recently by the linguistics and data science people. So I believe what they're saying about all this, but they say that the average number by most people is about 16,000 words a day. Now, men showed a wider variability, in fact, boasted about it, saying that they were the most economical, some men speaking only 500 words per day. But there's, whereas the other side of the story was true as well, they were also the most verbose, with a whopping 47,000 words per day. In the end, men and women were just about even, women just above 16,000 words, men just below 16,000 words. Folks, that's a lot of words. Spoken words, written words, posted words, all kinds of words, artful and angry words, accusing words, boastful and belligerent and beautiful and bold words, brilliant words or belittling words, cuss words, creative words, clarifying words, caustic and critical words, disruptive words, deceitful words, discouraging words, descriptive words, dire words, doxological words, exciting words, excellent and economic words, encouraging words, erroneous words, erotic words, fun words, filtered words, forgiving words, fearful and false words, gossip words, gracious words, grateful words, glorifying words, hilarious and silly words, hard words, hateful or healing words, hopeful words, I can't believe I said that words, inspiring words, insidious words, jokes and jumbled and judging words, kind words and killing words, loving words, little and big words, life-giving words, muddled and mushy and mumbled words, and that's as far as I went in the alphabet. You can do the rest later on. The point of this, of everything is 16,000 words per day. It's a lot of words. God is concerned about our words and how we use them, what we do with them. Our speaking and our listening, communication, it's one of our greatest gifts and one of our greatest struggles. Just consider some of the communication struggles you've had with your spouse or your children, coworkers or friends, neighbors or enemies. We play out day by day the story of Babel, and when we are conscientious, we can also play into the story of Pentecost and actually receive the miracle of speaking and hearing and understanding and reconciling with one another. There is, of course, a question about which words we will cling to or believe. There is that moment in John chapter 6 where Jesus has just spoken some really hard words to the people. And it says in there that many disciples left him, and he turns to the 12 and he says, "Are you going to leave as well?" And Peter, one of Peter's better moments, by the way, Peter says, "You alone hold the words of eternal life." Clearly, to God, words are important. God wants to communicate with us. So when God speaks, creation came into being and much, much, much more. It's really intriguing to me that in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for word is dabar. It's a three consonant sounds, a D, B, and R sound for us. Dabar. It is one of those really important words in the New Testament. You would recognize it as logos, the Greek word for it, but it refers to all kinds of words, but particularly to God's word, to the spoken word, to the revealed word, to the incarnate word in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and so on and so forth. But in Hebrew, if you add an M, a mem is the letter in Hebrew, to the beginning of that word, it's like adding an end of L-E-S-S to the end of an English word. So the word for wilderness is midbar, which literally means the wordless place. Ever been to that place where you are wordless? Ever been to that place when you could not hear a word from God? Intriguingly, Moses, the Israelites, Elijah, Jesus, countless other saints went into the wilderness so they could hear and discern God's words. So three things about our words today. Most obvious one is our words matter. This is why James is so concerned about the taming of the tongue. You can, he says, tame animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures, but you cannot tame the tongue. In the Message, it puts it this way: this is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame your own tongue. Our tongues have a tendency to run wild, cursing and blessing, lies and truth, killing someone's reputation or spirit, gossip. Words can also build somebody up and inspire. What do we do with our tongues? And to say it another way, what we do with our tongues matters. Parents, sometimes it takes a while, but you don't realize what your children's ears are actually hearing until they repeat something that you have said. If your children are like my children, they say that in the most embarrassing place. Cursings and blessings out of the same mouth, says James. This should not be, brothers and sisters. In chapter 4, James clarifies this for us. He says, do not speak evil. And I said, again, this word could be translated, do not speak evil, do not slander, do not badmouth one another. Apparently, in James' community, it seems that they were doing this very thing. And not only that, they were doing this saying, yep, in the name of God's law, I'm going to speak evil of you, badmouth you. To which he says, you are not keeping the law. In fact, the Message again puts this in another way. Honor the Message, by which he means God's word, the scripture, the revelation. And then he says, don't write graffiti all over it. We are not obeying God's law when we are using it to badmouth somebody else. Our words matter. Secondly, our words reveal what is going on in our hearts. In our call to worship today, we used a passage from Luke chapter 6, where it's Jesus that is speaking, and he says, it's out of the abundance of the heart, whatever's in here, that the mouth speaks. Let's go backwards just a little bit. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart, that's what they will speak. The bad person out of the evil of that treasure, that's what they will speak. Listen to your own words, and you will have a much better idea of what's really going on inside of you. What's really there? Anxiety, fear, anger, contempt, joy, contentment, love. Do you ever listen to your own words? When I was a boy, I had my mouth washed out with soap several times, probably most deserving of it. The reality is, for something that I said. But the problem, of course, was not my mouth. It was my heart. That's what Jesus is trying to say to us. So what do we do about all of that? One of the things we could do would be to take a page from Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and countless others, and actually give ourselves the freedom of some solitude. They went out into the wilderness, maybe not an easy thing for us to particularly do, but there is something about solitude, and I would add rest to this, that becomes really helpful for us to be able to actually pay attention to what's going on in here. We get so distracted and we get so busy, we get so much noise about us that there's not even a way to hear any of all this, but our souls and our hearts really need some space. Often, what we need the most is a sense of correction or healing or wholeness. What we really need is a word from God. Word of God, speak. You could give yourself an hour's worth of solitude somewhere and just sing that song for a while and then just be quiet and see what happens. Our words matter and they reveal the condition of our hearts, and unless we're willing to have God intervene, our hearts will go the wrong way. The third thing is that we need truthful words. I wanted you to hear that passage from Ephesians because it's hard to discern these days, right? We're in an election season. We've become quite conditioned. Everyone has a way of spinning their truth claims, and then thus we are always wondering who is actually telling the full truth. But Jesus said, you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So for us as followers of Jesus, truth is found first in the person of Jesus, which means we need to stay close to him. And secondly, that seeking truth is central to our faith. It will be hard to discern the truth if we are not being truthful ourselves. So we begin with that search for truth by being clear about what we are actually doing. So James Brand Smith, in his book, he recommends every once in a while trying to go a whole day without saying a lie. He is basing this on a study that was done by Robert Feldman that said for the average person in a 10-minute conversation, they will tell an average of 3 lies. Not always an outright lie, although sometimes, but usually at least an exaggeration, an excuse, an exception. Here's some examples. Yes, let's get together soon. But you never follow up on that. Or, I'll pray for you. And you never pray. Or those little white lies, like that outfit doesn't make you look thin, fat, whatever it might be. Or an exaggeration. This is one that I don't know why this sticks in my head. This is from Remember the Titans, the movie. The quarterback has just gotten hurt, and Coach Boone is trying to coach up the new kid that's going in there, and he says, I had 12 brothers and sisters. My parents have died. They all look to me. Your team is looking to you. This is your time, your moment. And the assistant comes up after that and says, 12 brothers and sisters? And he says, 8. Yeah, 12 sounds better. To go a whole day without lying, without an exaggeration, without an excuse, without a deception. If you're going to do that, I would encourage you to start by asking the Holy Spirit to help keep your conscience particularly active. But oh, there's so much we can learn about ourselves. It's like, how often did we actually stretch the truth or tell a lie, and why do we do that? Was I just trying to save face? Was I trying to make myself look better? Was I afraid of what somebody would think about? 16,000 words on average on any given day. Lots of opportunity for practice. Brothers and sisters, do not speak evil, slander, bad mouth one another. We need help taming our tongues. Our words really matter. They reveal the condition of our hearts, which only God can heal. Let's seek to know and to speak the truth, which will set us free. Amen.